Hello, Cooles. This is Gabriel Quiroga of the Barca Talk podcast. Every Friday, Mariana Guzman, a journalist in Barcelona, joins me as we talk the latest FCB. Today's episode, which you get to hear the full length, we talk about the Dynamo Kiev performance a little bit. We also talk Ansu Fati's contract renewal. And of course, we get ready for the Clásico. So if you're looking for some more content from Spain about Barcelona, support our podcast, you can go to our show notes where you have all the links there. After the break, you get to hear the full episode of Mariana and I in the Barca Talk Cafe. Hello, Cooles. Welcome to the Barca Talk Cafe. I'm Gabriel Quiroga in Madrid, Spain. And every Friday, Mariana Guzman of Conexión Deportiva and the ADN Barca podcast joins me from Barcelona. Mariana, we are both under the weather, sick. ¿Qué tal? ¿Cómo estás?
We look terrible. We look so sick.
I know. We were just talking before that we are both a little bit sick. My voice is really bad. You are not feeling well, but we're going to talk some Barca today. Let's first start off with the match on Wednesday. You were at the match on Wednesday against Dynamo Kiev, where they won 1-0. You know, this performance was really boring. And I just thought it was a missed opportunity for Koeman to get some momentum for the Clásico. What were your kind of feelings watching the match there at the Camp Nou?
Well, it was boring. Like you said, it was boring. But it's still, it was complicated for Koeman because we have El Clásico on Sunday. So everything was about that. For example, Ansu Fati didn't start because, of course, he needed some rest before El Clásico. So when you see Luke De Jong as a starter, you are like, oh, no. I mean, like, everything goes like, pwah, pwah, pwah.
Yeah.
And you feel that at the stadium. That was like, really, is he starting? I cannot believe it. Fans were like disappointed by that because he's not the favorite. But you, in a way, understand the decision because it's like, okay, the most important, in a way, it's El Clásico. I have Ansu Fati here. I mean, he's going to play, but I'm not going to use his full 90 minutes. So it was a match that Barcelona could win like 3-0, 4-0, but it looks like they have no idea that they were playing an important match. I don't know. It was like, are they aware of what they are playing right now? And I was talking to Alejandro on other episodes that the people in the stadiums were like supporting, that they were not booing, and that changed. They were booing on Wednesday, especially Luke De Jong. So it's like people are getting desperate for watching this Barça.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I would almost think that this match on Wednesday was a little bit more important than the Clásico, just because, you know, with the good feeling of the Valencia match on Sunday, Barcelona are in last place in the group. They needed to get 3 points. And the way Koeman approached it, this idea of protecting Ansu, I think I would have started him and just played him 60 minutes. I think that would have helped give the momentum from the early set. But again, as we talked about, it's a combination of many things with this match on Wednesday. The early start time, you know, I was, you know, even though it's 6:45 and most of the world, that seems okay. In Spain, that's really early. And there was video, you know how it is. And here at the sports show, so they were showing people running to get to the game. And that also doesn't have the full capacity yet. I mean, we have yet to see the full capacity at the Camp Nou, mm-hmm. one of these reasons. The other thing too is, we had good feelings on Sunday. I'm sure you talked about it in Barca. I talked about it in Barca Talk with Craig. This good feeling about Sunday night's match with Ansu, the team, and so forth. And to me, why not use that? Go up 3-0, take the players out, and then use that momentum, those good feelings for Sunday. Now we are looking at the Clásico, and I don't know what to expect. From the performance on Wednesday, I was not impressed with anything. And more importantly, like you said, like I said too as well, the players looked like it was a preseason match.
Yeah.
And again, the other thing too at the end of the game was Koeman getting frustrated with his players. And it's, I don't know, understand what the disconnect between him and the players and these matches, you know, it's just, it's crazy to me.
I never seen Koeman that way before. I don't know. He was like so upset. And this is like, well, Koeman, this is the face that we have when you do this when you have these decisions that we are decisions. So it's like, you don't get to do those faces, friend. I'm so sorry for you.
Yeah.
But I mean, he is responsible for what's going on, in a part of course. And yeah, to me, it was like, what, I mean, they win, and they're really important 3 points, of course, that have to be, we have to say it. But I mean, that's not the Barça you want to see before El Clásico. That's so not the game you want to see. That's so not the team you want to see. So I'm feeling weird because, historicamente, from forever, when the Clásico arrives, it's like borrón y cuenta nueva, like nothing happened and everything can happen because Real Madrid can be like in his worst moment, but still they can win, and of course with Barça. So El Clásico have this special energy. So I'm not saying like, oh, Real Madrid is going to score, is going to golear, because at the end of the day, in El Clásico, like, they woke up, but it looks not good.
Yeah, yeah.
From here.
That's the thing. We're going to get into it in a second, but
yeah.
You know, I want to finish off with this before we get into, you know, some positive things with Ansu and his contract. But again, it's just this up and down roller coaster of Koeman, I feel, that doesn't understand the momentum of the schedule, right? Especially in this moment, you ride a good performance on Sunday, ride that same starting 11 as much as you can to get Wednesday, substitute players. Because again, the way that the team approached it, it just seemed like, oh, we're already in first place in the group, and we're not. We don't even have any points. And so, like you said, the importance just didn't feel like it. You were there. From the TV, it felt like it. Everyone was cheering against Luke. Again, we were pumping so many crosses that he missed, and the only one that scored was Gerard Piqué. And it's like, yes, we got the 3 points, but in any way in that match, especially in our WhatsApp group with all the interaction, everyone was bored. Yeah. There was no positivity of anything. Everything was static, and there's nothing really to put to. And again, it's just, I just don't get it. I don't understand why he just doesn't use the same core 11 going forward, and he's always changing things. But let's get, I don't want to talk about this match anymore, because to me, it hurts to watch. I mean, I'm glad I watched it in the background, you know, in the fondo, because I was working and doing other things because I was still working. But yeah, again, it's just like one of those matches. Let's talk about, obviously, the bright spot of the week, Ansu Fati. Obviously,
yes,
you know, he signed the contract officially yesterday, did the press conference. Of course, the timing when they released the news after the poor performance against Dynamo Kiev, nice marketing. But again, I'm really excited about this, not only obviously keeping him locked in and so forth, but I also think Ansu has a completely different personality than Messi does, because yeah, you've already seen this week, I don't know if you have, but I have, on the sports shows and stuff, Ansu is on doing something with the motorcycle racer guy. He was doing some other promo, and obviously he has a new agent, you know, Mendes. And so Mendes is putting him more in front and face, but I think this is a good thing, because for all the great that Messi was, I wish he was a little bit more front-facing, more exagerado, right? Like with the crowds and the sound. And I think Ansu Fati really has that type of personality, so I'm really excited. But what is the overall feeling of, you know, in Barcelona with Ansu Fati just getting extended and getting his finish? Because his contract was ending at the end of this year.
Yes, people are really, really happy and really excited about Ansu Fati. I mean, it's incredible. Even that night on Wednesday, when he was like warming up, like, the stadium was like really into him. They were Ansu, Ansu, and the fans and the journalists, people, they were happy. And at the end of the match, they were like, oh, they're renewing Ansu Fati right now. So yes, it was, like you said, brilliant marketing, because they did it after that match, before El Clásico, and before this assembly of sauces, when they're gonna discuss the credit from renewing Palau Blaugrana and Camp Nou. So all is by Barça. So yes, it's really on timing. And I'm happy. Like you said, he's different. He's really different from Messi in that sense. He's more open to media, to doing those kind of content. So, I mean, he needs to be more open, you know, because that Messi, because he has this role to fulfill that is not easy. So, yes, he needs to be at his 100%, not only on the field, but off the field, with the media, on social media. So yes. And of course, Javi Mendes has his manager impact.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
that renewal was always positive. But I mean, they were like not signing until they have what they wanted. So
of course.
So yeah.
And that's the other thing with Jorge Mendes, and you know, obviously he's the super agent. You know, Fati fired Messi's brother, essentially, that used to be the agent, right? And so it's interesting because yes, I mean, everyone's for some of the things that Laporta hasn't followed through, obviously with the Messi issue, he's come through with Pedri and Ansu. So that, you know, is brilliant because those are the most important youngsters we have on the team, and they are locked in to at least 2026, 2027. So we were having this debate on the WhatsApp group about the buyout clause, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. So obviously Pedri and Ansu have a €1 billion buyout clause. I think personally it's too high. I think if anything we learned from the Messi situation when it was only 500, it didn't give the team financial flexibility. So do you think the €1 billion is too high? Because remember, here in Spain, if a team is interested in a player, they present the buyout clause, but also the player has to be interested in that to trigger the buyout clause. So it's a two-thing system where the team is still going to be protected. But if the player wants to go, then there's going to be an issue already with that. You know, you're hoping that doesn't go. You know, that's what happened with Neymar, essentially. So do you think the €1 billion is too much? Am I looking, and you know, and some of the people in our WhatsApp group were just saying yes, but it's just a hypothetical thing. But again, as we saw with the Messi thing, it doesn't give the team the financial flexibility because you never know what's going to happen in the future. Obviously, if you want to get rid of Ansu for whatever reason, I'm just trying to think of future so we don't get in the same situation that we are. So what is your feeling about this $1 billion buyout?
I mean, right now it sounds like a lot of money, like it is impossible for other clubs to handle, but it's a clause from here to 5 years. So, I mean, maybe the markets change so much that in 2.5 years, 3 years, $1 billion clause is not that much. So, I mean, football changed the amount that we handle today. I mean, it's crazy. Even 10 years ago, it was nothing like this. So I think they did that exercise, that perspective to how it's going to work the market, the amounts that's going to be handled in that period of time. And I know, like you said, like all the flexibility, and you have an important point. But if they don't do that, it's like everyone, every club can be every year like knocking on Ansu Fati's door. And that's what they don't want. I mean, we want this player to be a very important part of the team. And definitely we don't want every season a club like doing this oferta, especially the way that football is changing. I mean, every year, like this Heke, this rich family is buying a club. So this is changing the way that they negotiate, the way that we understand the money in football. So today it sounds a lot, but we don't know in 2 years what's going to happen.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, all I'm saying is like, I'm not saying to put it like at 20 million or something. I'm saying like 300 million, let's say, because then you're still protected, right? And obviously, yes, there could be many ofertas every summer. I get that. But also, you know, if someone's going to pay 300 million, I can get two players. And I know it's not going to be the quality of Fati, but I'm also looking for the overall success of the team. Again, I just want flexibility of the team because the club, right? That's what I'm always looking at, the club. Of course, I'd love Ansu. I'm just thinking hypothetically. That's all I'm thinking. I'm just trying to, I do not want to have the same situation that we are currently now to happen again. I just hope, you know, that we have the more foresight into the flexibility with these contracts. And again, the other thing too, Mariana, none of the numbers have been released. And to me, this is fascinating because this doesn't happen in any other sport. We only have the buyout, the length of it, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't know if they're going to be paying him 50 million a year, 60 million, like we don't know. And that's what's crazy to me, because these are some of the things that need to be transparent about how we run the club economically, right? Because this is what happened with Bartomeu. We would just start going out of control, out of control, out of control. So I was just looking this morning before we recorded, just to make sure. I looked on 7 different websites, no financial terms released.
Because there is confidential.
Yeah, I know. That's,
because here in Spain, with this law of protección de datos, I mean, they can say, like, I don't want people to see my info. I mean, I don't know if you remember, like, the big deal when a media shows the Messi contract.
Yeah.
People were crazy, and I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe it. So yes, they have the protection of the law.
Yeah, but again,
in that way.
Yeah, of course. But this is one of the things that, you know, I wish was more transparent, because then we would have a better idea of what the weekly salaries are, what we can afford. And maybe it would, you know, slow down all the rumors that we always try to get for Haaland and Mbappe, because if we can't afford for paying these things, you know, if we have transparency, this thing. Anyway, we're very happy that Ansu's staying until 2027. Obviously, you know, it's great for the club. I still can't believe he's only 18 years old. It's crazy to me. Let's get into it, Mariana. The Clásico. This is what
El Clásico.
You love it. I love it.
I received my credential.
Nice. So you'll be at the Clásico.
I am happy.
This is the first Clásico without Ronaldo and Messi, which is crazy to think about. And I just want to go over a couple of things. The injuries on the Madrid front are Carvajal and Hazard is always out, obviously. And I have been impressed this season with Madrid with Carlo Ancelotti. I thought for sure him coming back to the club was going to create a little bit more chaos, just because I didn't think the club was good enough. But Ancelotti has really done a good job of keeping the calmness of the team. Because Mariana, when I watch the sports show, Jugones, Deportes Cuatro, it's always about Barcelona and nothing ever about Madrid, because it is a calm team this year. You know, what is your opinion about what Ancelotti has been doing with the team? Obviously, they're, you know, top of La Liga, number 2. And just overall, did you have any feeling that Ancelotti was going to have this type of success second time around with Madrid?
Well, I think it's because his second time in Madrid, he really understands how he must handle the dressing room, how he must handle his player. And of course, I mean, that's a success that the media doesn't have a lot to say about Real Madrid. I think it's important. And I think that, I mean, he's not doing anything like wonderful, like, oh my God, this is unbelievable, this is incredible. But he is. Está moviendo el equipo. I mean, the team is moving forward. So without espectáculo, without show, without nothing wonderful, but he is still having these results. So yes, I mean, it's positive. I mean, it's not easy to be the coach after Zidane and after the Champions League success. So yes, I didn't imagine that he was going to have it's complicated to be after Zidane. I didn't imagine that he was going to be también en el equipo, but he's handling quite well. So yes.
Well, they won their Champions League match Wednesday or Tuesday.
Yes.
5-0 against Shakhtar Donetsk. Yeah. And there have been moments this season where Madrid have not looked very strong. They had a 3-game run of like no goals, essentially. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about, I think, the biggest thing to look at in this match. And that's going to be Madrid's attack against Barca's defense. Mm-hmm. With Madrid's attack, you have the famous Vinicius, right? He's having a good season. You cannot deny that, right? 5 goals, 2 assists in 8 games so far, compared to last season when he only had 3 goals and 3 assists. So he's definitely playing at a higher level. And obviously Benzema, with 9 goals and 6 assists in this season. What can Barcelona do to slow down this attack? Because we saw in the last Clásico, when Vinicius was able to manhandle that left side. Does Barcelona go still with a three-back system for this match? What can Barcelona do to slow down Madrid's attack?
Well, I think the key is in the midfield. I think that that's the way to, like you say, slow down. And of course, the defense is always the problem. But to me, it's, I mean, the best they can Koeman do is reforzar the midfield. And I'm really loving Dest on this new role of the team. So I think this can help see him a little bit more hacia arriba. So yes, I mean, the thing with the defense is that it's so weak.
Yeah,
we talk about this for years.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's no much he can do to change the sensations with the defense, only but to do it with the midfield that, to me, at this point, is working. I mean, De Jong is not being at his best. We know that. But when he's focused, he can do great things. I love Gavi. Busquets is looking good. So I think that's the key. And this in this new role, I think that can help a lot to slow down Real Madrid.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because obviously with Dest being up there, that gives the left back someone to occupy, right? Because Dest has some speed. Jordi Alba may be out for this match because he hurt himself on the Wednesday night match. So again,
complicated with Alba out.
It is complicated. Again, if Alba's out, I personally think that's actually a good thing because that means maybe we see Mingueza. And I think Mingueza is a better defender. That's just my opinion. I mean, if we're looking at defenders, right? And I just think I think he's a better. Wow, you're not very.
But no, again,
who's better? Who's better on the team right now? That's the thing.
I mean, no.
Exactly.
No. I don't agree with you. Sorry, I don't agree with you. I think.
So for example, you might see Sergiño Dest on left back if Alba's out. All right, he's done it before.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, but if I have to decide, it's like, please, Alba, get better for the Clásico.
He's not. I don't think he's going. I don't think.
Yes, I don't think so either.
He even said after the post game on Tuesday night, he even said that he doesn't feel like he said, yeah, I got hurt and I don't know if I'm going to be able to be available for the Clásico. So I don't think this is always the question. Do you want to hurt Alba?
No, of course
not. For the Clásico, exactly, right? So we've seen it before when Alba was out that Sergiño Dest went to left back and he did okay. But knowing Koeman, I could see him using Dest on left back, Sergio Roberto on right back, for example. And maybe putting Demir at the right wing, for example. I don't know. These are the things. It's very unpredictable. And we look at this team, and again, like you said, yes, it's with the midfield. But again, if we don't have Pedri, all of a sudden it's going to be a lot of pressure on Busquets. And yes, Busquets has been playing good and fine, but in this type of match, this is where it's going to come to roost, basically, where Busquets is going to be pulled out. They know how to play against Busquets, and Busquets is going to look slow and old in this match if he doesn't have the protection of the midfield. So this is going to be quite an interesting matchup. Now, again, the start time, Mariana, 4:15.
Yes.
This is a nightmare, you know? This is a nightmare because, again, is this going to low into the slow performance of the team? And more importantly, is the stadium actually going to be full? I just checked right now. There are so many tickets available right now for the Clásico. I've never seen so many tickets available for the Clásico like this before. All price ranges and stuff. So, you know, Laporta said yesterday, everyone needs to come out. Everyone needs to support. But we've seen the team hasn't had 100% aforo yet. Are these things going to lead to shock?
Yes, I am shocked because it's El Clásico. I mean, you need to see like the streets before the match. It's like completely full. El Clásico, it's crazy. Yes, la locura. So to me that we are on Friday and there's still tickets available, I can't believe it. I mean, when I arrived here in Barcelona and I wanted to go to El Clásico, it was impossible. I mean, there's like no tickets, like I don't know, days before the match. And it's sad. I mean, to me, it's really sad. In llegar a un estadio, arrive to the stadium and watching all those empty seats is just depressing to me. It's really, really depressing. And it is to me, I don't imagine for the team, for the players.
This is one of the things that Laporta said yesterday is that he didn't realize, or Barcelona entre comillas, didn't realize how much the tourism bought tickets, right, for these matches. Because we've seen in the Valencia match, it was half full. We saw on Wednesday night it was half full. And I'm looking right now on the website, Mariana. We can go to the Clásico right now for 90 euros anywhere in the stadium, which is incredible right now. So before, like you said, when I went to the Clásico, it was a process, right? It was a huge-ass process. I was lucky to get tickets. It was expensive. It was worth it, obviously. But now I'm looking at it, I'm just like, wow, I can't believe. And that's really interesting because – again, if the stadium is not full, I think it loses some of that feeling of the Clásico, especially with the entrance. Remember, in our WhatsApp group, we were just celebrating the anniversary of the pig's head, right? And I shared a video of the whole interaction of that. The crowd of that Clásico was on fire, It was not, it reminded me of like how good, you know, it used to be obviously pre-pandemic, just the crowd, the interaction, all stuff. It is yet to happen in the Camp Nou. And I really hope it happens because, again, Barca needs the fan support to be at 100% aforo. And maybe that's something that's lacking for these players.
Yeah, I think, of course, what Laporta said about the tourists, of course, impact. But I don't think that's the only reason. I think fans, I think it can be better. I mean, the fans are not motivated for watching the team, and it's expensive, and I think it's a bigger problem. I think it is.
Yeah, for sure. We have a question here from Keegan, and it has to do with your favorite player, Coutinho. So, what do you think about Coutinho's performances so far this season? And it seems the stadium crowd has responded favorably at times. Are you guys warming up to him also? So I'll let you start off with this because you were at the match on Wednesday. Have people been more favorable to Coutinho in these matches?
I mean, normal. I mean, people were not crazy about him or hating him. It was like normal. Yeah. But about Coutinho, I have this information because he was having this conversation, a conversation with the staff, with a coach, because he was feeling really, really down. And they did like this pep talk on him, like 3 hours on Ciudad Deportiva. He is feeling uncomfortable. I mean, with him, with this situation. And they were like helping him to get back on track, so that's why he was like celebrating the goal against. It was like really like I did it, you know. So that's a part. I mean, he's working on himself, and he's not at his 100%, and he knows it. So that's why he celebrated that. That goal, that way.
So I never want to, go evil, not evil. I don't want to bash someone when they are trying to seek mental help and they recognize this thing. But my whole thing with Coutinho, I'm still not in favor of him playing. I just don't think is I always try to remember what made him good, what made him great. And I cannot put my finger on it because was he a spectacular dribbler? I don't remember that. Was he a spectacular passer? Sure, he could score goals, but we haven't seen that really from distance. You know, everyone always says, oh, because he shoots long distance. So I don't know. Obviously, I just still don't think he's the right player here. I think we need to ship him to a better team, or to a team that's going to use him. He needs to get a lot of reps. Like, he needs to play a lot. He's not a type of player that can come in a game here, perform really well. And as we've seen, you know, the information of him trying to get help, that's great and stuff. But like, this is a process that's been for like 4 years now. You know, this isn't something that's just
it's,
6 months.
It's, I don't think he is. I don't think Barca is the team for him.
No,
I mean, it's like I always felt that way with Griezmann. It's like, I mean, Griezmann, I'm so sorry, but you don't fit in here. It's just the way it is. I feel similar to Coutinho.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have another question from Carlos here. And basically, he's just talking about the feeling of if Barca wins the Clásico, can they win the La Liga? And again, he said, you know, this all stems from the good feelings we had from Sunday. And now all of a sudden, the bad feelings we have from Wednesday. And Mariana, I don't want to put all the pressure because it's still so early in the season. But it can go two ways, I feel. If Barca win, then all of a sudden that's going to give good feelings again. And yes, they can win La Liga because La Liga this year is very hit and miss. There's not a dominant team. But if Madrid play and they win at the Camp Nou, I definitely think that's going to give them a psychological advantage for the season going there. And I think they're going to be front runners for La Liga. What do you think?
I mean, it's a long Liga.
Yeah, well, I know that.
I mean, it's really long. Sometimes we see teams that start, like, I don't know if you remember, like, two seasons ago, like, Granada was, like, winning. It's like, oh, la sorpresa. And they didn't win La Liga at all. So sometimes we think, oh, this is going to, okay, definitely we're going to, they're going to win La Liga and, or they're going to lose. So I think at this point, anything can happen. It's really, really too soon. Of course, like you said, if they win, it's a psychological advantage, a big one, because Real Madrid can, it's one of the two teams that can win today.
Sure.
So of course it is an advantage, but it's still a long way. I don't think that Barcelona is out of competition. I mean, I have that feeling with Champions League. I don't have that feeling with La Liga. I think that it's a possibility. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'd say they can. So we'll see. I mean, of course, it depends a lot of Real Madrid and, of course, Atletico de Madrid.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm just looking at this season as mini chunks, right? Like, so basically over every international break and taking those as little mini seasons. Again, like you said, La Liga is very long. So we have to, like you said, that's a great example with Granada. But again, I think the hardest thing with this team as a fan, as a culé of this team is the unpredictability of this team, right? You don't know what you're going to get from game to game. And that's really hard to judge because now when you think about the Clásico, I can think of 20 different situations, you know? I can think of a goleada for both teams. I can think of no goals. I can think of a red card. There's just so many situations, right? Whereas before, you know, I would always think, you know, especially in the height of the Madrid with Ronaldo and Messi, when they were the height of their powers, you know, I would have been happy at beginning to get away with a 1-1 at the Bernabeu, right, for example. And there was a little bit of predictability because both teams were so good. You know, they were going to score a goal here or there. Now, I don't even know. You know, that's what makes it so difficult. And so, like you said, it is a long season, but we just have to manage these little mini seasons in between that as best as possible. Even though on Wednesday or Tuesday night, Barcelona did not color football, as they love to say, they did get the 3 points, right? Yeah. So they beat Valencia, they beat Kiev. And I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's just about the 3 points, right? I know we want to see the artistic beauty of football with Barca. That's one of the reasons why we love this team. But again, in this weird transition season, getting results is just as important, especially in Champions League for monetary reasons, right? Because they need to get out of group stage because that's more money that they're going to be able to get for the matches. So again, Mariana, it's just always complicated every week with our telenovela team. Really quickly, let's finish on this fun thing. We were talking about in our WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
The Mario Icardi telenovela that's going on. It is, if you guys are not aware, it is so
terrible.
No, it's amazing.
This is like a guilty pleasure.
Of course, of course. I'm not, that's all it is. It's a guilty pleasure. You're not aware. Please, please, please Google it. What happened in the last week on Instagram with Arcardi and his wife, who's his agent as well, is, it's like the legends of football, right? Of like those football wives type of thing. It is amazing. So please check that out. We were talking about that in our WhatsApp group as our guilty pleasure this week.
Yeah.
So Mariana, you're going to go to the match. You're going to share the photos with us in our WhatsApp group. I'm really excited to see that. This is your first Clásico since before the pandemic. So this is going to be very exciting.
Poco a poco,
we are getting back to really back to normal here. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go somewhere to watch the match because I'm still sick. I don't know. We'll see how I feel on Sunday. If I'm not sick, I will go to the bar for sure to go watch the match with some friends.
With los abuelos.
Con los abuelos. Con mis tapas también. So don't forget about that. I'm just kidding. So Mariana, have a good weekend. Feel better. I look forward to your photos and your commentary after the match. And we'll talk next week.
Bye-bye. Adeu.